somebody else out of heart.
Shehu kosha mikulam, because the galus of Edom is the hardest one. So it's not just that you can walk out. Hashem has to stretch out his hand and zoron to you, and he has to pull us out. I may have mentioned to you before the Baal HaTanya, he learns the expression zoron to you in a very literal sense. He says somebody needs to be saved, so somebody, the Savior, comes in, he stretches out his arm and he pulls them out. He says that's what Hashem did for us in Mitzrayim. We're sunk, we're at the 49th level of Tumah, we're enmeshed in Mitzrayim, we have to be mamish yanked out. That's the Zeruah Netuya, or according to the Baal HaTurim, that's the Lokachti. Yeah, please, Mr. Trent.
The four according to the Baal
HaTurim? Say it again, please.
The four Galios?
Yes.
Are what?
Oh, what are they? Okay, so the four Galios are, I'm using my pen here. The first one is Bavel. Just write Baal HaTurim here. Bavel is the first one. That's the Buchadnezzar, etc. The second one is Paras, Madai, Persia, Medea. The third one is Yavan, that's Greece. And the fourth one is Edom, Rome. That's the Galus that we are currently in, the longest one. Now, this is an important idea. First of all, it's a Chazal, the Midrash says this. And second of all, the Galus of Mitzrayim and the Shibud Mitzrayim, it contained within it all the future Galios. So it's not counted as one of the four. If you see reference to the Dal Galios in Sforim, Mitzrayim is not included. These are the Dal Galios, starting with Bavel. But it is considered by our Sforim HaKadoshim to be that which contained all future exiles and Shibudim of Klal Yisrael. It was part of Mitzrayim. It happened to us in Mitzrayim. So therefore, leaving Mitzrayim was the kernel or the forerunner of leaving all the future Galios as well. When we left there, that was also a siman, we would be leaving all of the Dalet Galios over the course of history. It's contained in it. Now we also all know that the Dalet Kosos that we drink on Pesach at the Seder, that they correspond. So here's a very beautiful gematria in the Baal HaTurim. It's full of beautiful gematrias. Just continuing that same Baal HaTurim. Vahotseisi, vihitzalti, vigoalti, vilokafti. Bigematria, if you add up the gematria of those four words, what does it equal? Ze, oni, biyisroel, lo yifchusu lo, me'arba, koso, shoyayin. Even a poor man in Israel should not have less than four cups of wine, meaning on Pesach. That's actually a halacha, and it's brought down in the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens that way, that even a person who has no money, zero money, they have to make sure to find a way to get dalet kosos. They either have to sell an article of clothing, they would have to hire themselves out as a laborer in order to have money for the dalet kosos. It's from there also that we learn even a very poor person has to light the menorah, has to gather money to light the menorah, because both of these concepts are persume nisa. They're advertising, publicizing the miracle. The dalet kosos publicize the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the menorah publicizes the miracle of Hanukkah. So the second Baal HaTurim relates them to the dalet kosos. I'm just going to write it up here in parentheses because it's so well known to us. The Dal Vashanos Shal Geula. Each cup at the Seder corresponds to a particular redemption, so we're going through the experience at the time. Okay, that's the Baal HaTurim. Now, if you go to the other side of the page, you want to see the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh, there's a check toward the top left of the page. You see it there? Right over here. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh was Rav Chaim ben Attar, right? And he lived in the 1700s. He spent most of his life in North Africa, where he was a Rav. And then he moved to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1740s. And he passed away a short time later. He was only there for about 2 years. And his kever is visited every year on his yurt site, the Tan Harazesim. You can see it, you know, even from afar, because it's marked Harazesim. Thousands and thousands of people go to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh on his yurt site. And he is really considered to be one of the foremost mekubalim of recent times. The Baal Shem Tov, who never met the Orach Chaim HaKadosh because the Baal Shem was in Eastern Europe and the Orach Chaim was in North Africa and then Eretz Yisrael. They never met physically, but they knew about each other. And the Baal Shem Tov referred to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh with tremendous respect and admiration. And amongst Hasidim, the Orach Chaim is a sefer which is learned amongst all. It's considered a very chashuv sefer and commentary on the Torah. I'll just tell you one story from the Baal Shem Tov and the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. So one time at Shalashudis, the Hasidim saw that the Baal Shem Tov looked a little bit distressed. And they came over to him and they asked, you know, why is the Rebbe, you know, distressed? What's the matter? So he said that there's a certain kavana, certain intention, certain kavana, certain thought, which is part of Netilas Yadayim before Shalashudas. And only one person in a generation, a Yochid Bedoro, is Zocha to have that Kavanah. Only one person in the whole generation is Zocha to have that Kavanah. And he said, I just got the Kavanah. He says, therefore I know the Orach Chaim HaKadosh has passed away. So that's the regard that he held him in. Pardon me? I don't remember the date of the yard site. We'll keep our eyes open for it. He's buried in Yerushalayim on Har HaZesim, on the Mount of Olives, because he just spent his last year and a half or so in Eretz Yisrael. From North Africa to Eretz Yisrael, right, by plane, a couple hours now, maybe 3-4 hours, it took the Orach Chaim HaKadosh over a year to get from North Africa to Israel. Just to make that journey, it was so difficult. He had to stop in many places. So it was a long journey for him. Just the Mesiras Nefesh that they had. And his shul, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh's shul, is still there. It's in the Old City. You can see when you walk down toward the Kotel, you'll pass by the Orach Chaim HaKadosh's shul. It's still there. Please, Mrs. Fran, yeah.
What city, where did he come from?
He was from North Africa, but I don't know which city. I don't know which city in North Africa. Okay, Elke, yeah, please.
What kind of Jewish community was in North Africa?
Big, big. Lots of Yidden. Yeah, Morocco, Fez, Marrakesh, really big communities, great people, Chachamim, for centuries. Up till our time, up till the founding of the State of Israel. Now, you know, Morocco is still, you know, fairly friendly toward the Jews. The king there has been pretty kind, but obviously it's a very, very hostile environment in general. But we were there for centuries. The Rif, right, one of the greatest Rishonim, one of the earliest Rishonim, lived in North Africa. Yeah. Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi. So a lot of great people came from there. Yeah, please.
There's a children's book that it tells how the Orach Chaim was a goldsmith, like he made jewelry, and he was supposed to make jewelry for the princess's wedding, and he was somehow, there were people plotted against him, and he was put in a cage with lions.
With lions.
Yes, and he sang to the lions, and they were tame as anything, and the king who came was just astounded when he saw this, and he said he's a holy man, let him out. And then they threw in the people who accused him, and of course the lions jumped on him.
Devoured them, right. Yeah, I have
so
read that story.
Excellent
story. Like Daniel, the Guvar Arayas, right? Yeah. The lions did not touch him. Yeah. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh. He was thrown into a den of lions and didn't touch him. Yeah. Okay. So he says, Va'omro, right where that check is, Vahotsesi, etc. Niskave Lesader Seder HaTovos. So the Torah here, what it has in mind, so to speak, is to arrange for us the order of Tovos, of good, nice things, kind things Hashem did for us. Ki, bitechila yakil ol savlan. The first step is to lighten the burden of slavery. We are under horrible conditions there. Vahu omro vahotseisi eschem mitacha sivlos mitzrayim shehu tokef hashibu. That's the first lashon. When it says vahotseisi from underneath the burdens of Mitzrayim, that's the tokef hashibu. Right, so the persecution, oppression type of slavery, that is concluded with vahotseisi. I'm going to write the tokef hashibu, the oppression, the oppressive labor. So that's done, and that's why it says mitacha sivlos Mitzrayim. V'zeh hoya tekef umiyad, b'makas hayor. Orachayim Akadu says, this happened immediately when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen struck the river, and it turned into blood. Nisparda chavilas noksim v'shotrim. That's an expression. Nisparda hachavila means the bundle fell apart. That means it was over, done. So the noksim, the oppressors, the shotrim, the officers who were persecuting us, it was all done. Nisparda chavila, the package is unwrapped, open, done. That's number one. Secondly, avol Yisroel hoyu ovim kitsas. We were still working for them, though. We're not slaves, but we're still working for them. Why? Ki emas hamitzriim hoysa aleihem. Because the fear of the Mitzrayim was still in our head. Umei atzmam hayu ovdim avoda kala. And just by ourselves, we were doing small things for them. So just like picture the mentality again. You're slaves for 210 years. You're free, but you know, what do I do? Like, maybe I should still be doing something. So they did small things for them after slavery, according to the Orachaim. Ukeneged ze omar behitzalti eschem me avoda son. I will save you from your avoda. Avoda. Shete akir avoda mehem kol ikr. That now, no longer any work whatsoever, even light labor. So two stages at the beginning, according to the Orachayim. So I'll call this Avoda Kala. They were redeemed from even light labor. V'acharkach, and then v'go'alti eschem ge'ula, hi yitzi'asa me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's leaving Egypt. So going out of Egypt, going back to the Sfornos concept, going out of Egypt, there's psychological shibud. So we're out of their land. That helps. Ubichlal prad zeh hi kriyas yamsuf. Included in this is kriyas yamsuf. She'im lo kein zu geula she'achareha kloya. Because if that's not the case, if the Mitzrayim don't die in the yamsuf, it's a geula with extermination after it. They're still around. They're going to hurt it. I don't know what Beis Mem is. So the third step is Geula, Kriyas Yamsuf, leaving Mitzrayim. The enemy has to die, otherwise we're still in trouble. Uleze amar behotseisi eschem min ha'oretz. Sorry, uleze lo amar behotseisi eschem min ha'oretz. Ela v'go'alti. So it doesn't say behotseisi at the beginning eschem min ha'oretz, but rather v'go'alti, I redeemed you. Lomar hotza'a sheyesh ba geula. It's a hotza'a that has true redemption. Im yirdof oyev, yirdof ba'af uvechema shvucha. When the enemy chases you down, he chases you with anger, open anger. And that's what the Mitzrayim were doing when we were at the edge of the Yamsuf. They were chasing us down with tremendous anger. So their drowning there was, again, the step of geula that we really needed. Also like the others, Matan Torah, Kisham Nisyachadenu lo la'am, we became unique and special to Hashem as his nation. V'yiched shemo aleinu, he placed his great name upon us. V'hu omro, as it says, v'hayisi lachem le'lokim, I will be as your Elokim. So again, that's Matan Torah. All right, so that's one, two, three, four different views on the Dal Deshonos Shel Geula. I want to share two thoughts with you. One is that I often say, when I talk about the Shibud Mitzrayim and the Dal Deshonos Shel Geula, that I think there's a very valuable insight from that on a personal level, which is that redemption is a process. It's a process. You see that Hashem did not just take Klal Yisrael and pull him out of Mitzrayim and put him at Har Sinai and then put him in Eretz Yisrael. It didn't happen that way. For Lashonos of Geula, it's a gradual moving away from our oppressors, as we see here from different points of view. In our own lives, it's not possible for a person to change a bad situation overnight. It's simply impossible. And we shouldn't try. It never works. We're still stuck to the situation. If you leave just like that, you're still attached. The process has to play itself out step by step. And each step that we take, both externally in terms of our actions and internally relative to our emotions and what we're thinking about, we have to do that in a step-by-step way. That's Dalad Lashono Shel Geula. Redemption is a process. The last step, if we notice, Kabbalah Satorah, it's not about getting away from something, it's about becoming something. That's the last step of Geula. The first three are about leaving Mitzrayim at different levels, Shibud, persecution, their boundaries, the mental slavery. That's all about leaving a situation. But if a person leaves a situation and does not put themselves with a direction and a goal, we're not really free. We can easily slip back because we don't have a future. We don't know where to go. And that's why Kabbalah Satorah is the fourth step of Geula. After Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, he gave us the Torah. This is what you do with your freedom. Now you'll truly be free people. And it was a tremendous gift that we had from Hashem because both on a national level for many other peoples and on a personal level, we see that when a person is released from bondage, slavery, persecution, if they don't have a direction for the future, you're not really free. You're not really free. And I believe that the tefillah that we say in Hallel, in Tehillim, is this idea. We say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, please Hashem save me. And then we say, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, let me have success in the future. Right? I need both. An Hashem Hoshiana is only halfway. An Hashem Hatzlichana, now let me go somewhere positive and do something positive with my life now that I'm out of that previous situation. Yeah, Rebison, please.
It seems to me that the Hadesi is also part of this. So why is it left out? It's like to me, like you get married, but then you come into the house.
Right.
So what's after Geula, or is it part of Geula? Another idea, maybe there is a fifth post.
Yeah, so Koshel Eliyahu, Vehevesi, Mashiach, the final Geula, and that Lashon Vehevesi. But it's true, the Chachamim don't identify He Lashonos Shel Geula. They identify Dal of Lashonos Shel Geula. So that last one, the Vehevesi, which is the Koshel Eliyahu, Mashiach, that one's a little bit different because that represents our ultimate redemption. And we are kind of up to that place with the four Lashon Shel Geula at the foot of Mashiach. Gil, you have a hand up, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to relate it to recovery from addiction.
Yeah.
And like a 12-step model of, say, the alcoholic has to separate from alcohol in the physical sense, and then the emotional recovery, and ultimately the goal is spiritual recovery and building relationship with Hashem.
Very much so. I think any, like, recovery program recognizes this step by step, and then you said the spiritual recovery, purpose, meaning in life. Thank you, yeah. Esther, please.
I'm just sort of intrigued by the idea or the concept that Mitzrayim contained within it all of our
Galias.
So if that's the case, and these are the four steps out, does it then behoove us, on an individual level, to begin the process of freedom? In the sense of psychologically and spiritually, free from what is holding us in this gullus, which is a very individual thing. But is that, should that be part of our process going forward as the Mirtz Hashem, we get ready for the ultimate coming of Hashem?
Most definitely. Like we have a mitzvah to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. So Yetzias Mitzrayim is highlighted on Pesach, and that's where it's spiritually in the air. But Yetzias Mitzrayim is a daily awareness that we are to have, and this is a big part of it. We're always working on the steps of Geula, always. It's part of our life.
And making it real in the
right
here now.
Right.
Not just, oh, that's a memory. It was wonderful what Hashem did for us. Baruch Hashem.
Right.
No,
right. We want to bring it very much into the present.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Mira?
That's what I was going to say. Oh, mm-hmm. We have to hold on to it. Like, keep on holding on to it. And I was just, that's the same with immigrants, you know, to a new
mm-hmm.
place, or people who move, or who, you know, like immigrants always feel like immigrants, you know, until the second generation.
Right.
But they're always getting there.
Sure.
They're not there.
Right. Yeah, it takes another generation, absolutely. And certainly happened in this country, and it happens everywhere that we go. Yeah, Revison, please.
So, say back on that, on the process. So it just seems to me that it's a process that just can't finish in this world.
Right.
That ultimate goal is just not here.
Right. It won't be complete until Mashiach, Sidikane, Vimeher, Biyameinu, right? It's always one step more, one step more, one step more. Yeah. Regina, please.
But when you have mental pain, if you go back, you can feel the
true.
Exact same emotion that you felt
mm-hmm.
35
mm-hmm.
years ago. It would bring tears to your
mm-hmm.
eyes.
Yeah.
So how do you get past something that is sort of interwoven in your brain that's never going to go away?
You have to have a siyata dishmaya.
Oh,
I don't think we can do that on our own. Certainly time helps. Time helps. A shukha with time. Right. Right, different shitos on that.
So what do you do with siyata?
You have to ask for it. You have to ask for it from Hashem, in my opinion. That there's only, when it comes to a psychological or deeply emotional experience that you think about it 10 years later and you cry, right?
Yeah.
So that is like so much a part of who we are. If we really want to be free from that, not that it's ever truly goes away, you know, but if I want to be free from it, that requires Hashem's intervention. I don't think that's biyodeinu. I also feel very strongly that the emphasis on Yetzias Mitzrayim, ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sarath, ani hu, ani v'lo acher. Why is Hashem saying this? Because he wants to know, you know what? If I was not involved in your Yetzias Mitzrayim, you'd still be there. Like we say in the Seder. Doesn't mean we'd physically be in Mitzrayim. That happened 3,000 years ago. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. But we'd still be there. In our head, in our mind, in our heart, if Hashem does not come in and make that full separation, we can't do that on our own. That requires a special siyata dishmaya. I think it's true on the national level as a people and on the personal level as well.
Tefillah.
Tefillah. I'm talking about tefillah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, please, Rabbi.
How about you can't, of course, it's a siyata d'shmaya, it has to be, but that there's a hishtabelus for us,
right.
And I think that we can reframe things.
Mm-hmm.
So when you teach us that the Shibud Mitzrayim was to enable us to be Meshuvah to Hashem, so then you could relate to that suffering as something else. Like, you know, it's hard, but when it's hard and it's for a high
a reason.
Purpose, yeah. It's not hard anymore, and it takes the edge off, and we relate to it differently. So I think there's a reframing so that we don't have to carry those painful memories to the grave.
Yeah, very good. I think it's an excellent point. And we do have to do that in order really to move on in a healthy way. Very, very important point. I wanted to show them, see if Rabbi Har is coming yet, or Andre. No, I'm still okay, or it's only the snake. No, I'm trying to be very careful. Go past it. All right, so I can say I have a little board I wanted. I need a Chumash. I just wanted to share you a thought that I like to tell over at the end of Parshas Vayera. So the Torah says that at the end of the plague at the Makkah of Borod, it's kind of very interesting lashon, and you kind of wonder why we need to know this. So it says at the end of this week's parsha, Vahapishta vahasa'ora nukosa, ki hasa'ora avi vahapishta givol, vahita vahkusemes lo nuku, ki afilos hena. So pasuk lamed and pasuk lamed aleph, and it goes like this. Sorry, lamed aleph, lamed beis. The flax and the barley were struck, meaning by the hail, for the barley was ripe and the flax was in its stalk. And the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they ripen later. So what's happening here? The crops, which were already in full bloom and they were standing strong, they were the ones that were hit by the hail and destroyed. The ones that were not yet in full bloom, they were softer, and therefore they were more malleable, and they were not destroyed. So I always feel that this is a lesson in what is the meaning of strength and endurance. So sometimes somebody stands up real strong, you know, but they crack very easily because they're too strong. They get hit and they crack. Then you have someone who knows how to bend a little bit, knows how to give, a little bit flexible. And then the wind blows and, you know, then they come back up. So I think this is this lesson that when it came to the midstream, they thought they were so strong and so powerful and so mighty. And no one had ever gotten out of Mitzrayim. No one had ever escaped. And they're cracking. And the Jews, you know, who are downtrodden and oppressed, we're surviving. We're coming through this. The Chachamim compare us to a kana, the Jewish people, to a reed. We're called like a kana, like a reed blows in the wind and stands back up. That's how Klal Yisrael is like. So I think that might be the lesson of that those last few psukim. Yeah, please, Robinson.
Well, that seems a full circle to me because that is exactly why, to me, then why we can't finish here. Because if you think you're finished here, you take that form of completeness.
A finished product.
Finished mm-hmm. product, and you're vulnerable. So long as we are always striving, have never arrived, the ghoul is just out of mm-hmm. reach, and we're mm-hmm. in that developmental stage always, then we can weather.
We're still growing.
The
great, beautiful, beautiful thought. Thank you, Abison. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll come in, please.
I was thinking like Tuvishva, like the tree with the roots, like that's why we don't pick it off why we wait that amount of time.
Mm-hmm. We have to give it, why
we blow, because we're not, like what starts fast ends fast. Like
right.
We were saying before, like you can't recover overnight.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Awesome, beautiful. Okay, Yashur Koach, everybody, for once again a beautiful semester of learning is mine. And we have a few weeks off in between the two, Ben Azmani, right? And then we are going to continue with the Ramban, Bezras Hashem, for the next semester. Yeah, okay. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great couple of weeks.
Okay. Should I just leave it, or do you want to just say what's
that?
Do you want to say that or not?
The beginning is what? can you take like before this one? Like maybe just the Ramban.
I'm not sure what you're saying. You mean the content or just what we're doing today?
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, so we are doing and we're covering the Dal Lashon HaShel Geula with the Perush of the Ramban, the Seforno, the Baal HaTurim, and the Ora Chaim HaKadosh from Parshas Va'era.
Excellent. Rabbi Goldberg, this was absolutely